We're almost to the end over here. We have three more to go. Amachim es rabo. So it says that you make your Rebbe wiser. Machim es rabo. So what does it mean you make your Rebbe wise? What is it? What? I guess so. So what's the chat over here? Well, let me make your Rebbe wise. So Tiferes Yisrael says that so even as you steig and you grow, and you know, and Mirtz Hashem Tamidim do become greater than the Rebbeim sometimes, and we hope it's that way. You know, if every Talmud was worse than his Rebbe, then Chayesu would end up as nothing. So you want Tamidim to excel beyond the Rebbeim, and often you have a Talmud who has grown and he doesn't understand things in a different way than his Rebbeim do. So even if you reach that Madrega and you have a Havana which seems to be different than your Rebbe, so you have to be machshiv your Rebbe still, and still try to understand where he's coming from, what he means, and be miyashiv his daya. Meaning, just because you have steiged to the point where you feel you know better than your Rebbe, so you have to still, machkim esrael means you are attributing to him chachma still. That's how he touches it. You're attributing chachma to your Rebbe, you're being machshiv, mechabed him still, in his, not just mechabed him, like, you know, stand up for him, but in his pshat, his understanding. And you have to say, well, my Rebbe is my Rebbe, and when he said something, even though I think it's wrong, he obviously had a reason for it. So I have to then try to figure out, where is he coming from? Now, why is this so important? I mean, Lamaisa, let's say you're talking greater than your Rebbe. You know, you have Gedolei Ador, all had Rebbeim, and you could say it's probably they accepted on the Rebbeim. You know, the Rebbe was a regular Rebbe, and this guy became the Gedolei Ador. So why is he to Machim as Rabbo in that way? So I think there's a few different understandings of that, a few reasons for that. Number one, we've been discussing a lot the past few days the idea of Masorah. And everyone has to be in some way nichna. You have to submit yourself to Masorah. If you reject your Rebbe, you disregard him and say, he was a nice guy and he helped me out, but I know much better than him. So even if you do it with the full covet and you're machshiv him and that, but then you're cutting off linking the Masorah because you're saying that no, he did not link me up to Emes. You know, what he explained to me was not a link to Har Sinai. And then you have to have a nava and know that Torah comes from a chain of many, many doros, looking back to Har Sinai, and it's part of Klal Yisrael, and we only stand on that. And Rebbe to Talmud, that relationship is essential for Klal Yisrael. So you have to recognize that he is a link in the chain. What he passed on to me linked me to Har Sinai, and if I don't understand what he said, but I look at him as somebody who is honest and Yerei Shemayim and a Talmud Chacham, then I want to figure out what he understands because that'll link me back to the next door, to the previous door. That's an important part of it. Additionally, being this battle to your Rebbe becomes the basis of all that you know. Well, let's take a mashal for a second. So you have a person who excels beyond his Rebbe. And then he looks back at his Rebbe and says, he taught me all these things I think are wrong. So at that point you start questioning all the foundations of Yiddishkeit. Everything that Rebbe, I had a Rebbe in fourth grade and I used to think he was great, but now I've gone on and I understand, and I think what he taught me is Sheker. So then you're going to question everything you gained from that Rebbe. And so if the Rebbe Taka is Nama Aretz and not Yerei Shemayim, then fine. So then he wasn't really a Rebbe. He was, you know, that was, then you could question him. But he's a good Rebbe. You know, he did his best. He's Yerei Shemayim. He's not an Nama Aretz. So if you start questioning things he says and you're not willing to put time into understanding them and thinking that he must have something to offer, so question everything he taught you. And then that really shakes up the foundations of who you are. If you shake up your foundation of Torah later in life, so then you're standing on nothing at this point. Let me give you just a... Rashiv often tells a story about... it was a story about Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. And there was a certain point... Could have been it was back in Shanghai even. I forgot if it was Shanghai or if it was afterwards. But Rav Chaim had a son, Rav Rafael. No, it was Atzal. And he was a good friend of Rashiva, Rafael Shmulevitz. I think they were roommates in the mirror or something. They were very good friends. Also cousins after he got married. But so he said that Rafael was learning with the tutor at the table in his house, and his father was sitting out on the table. His father was learning. So the tutor said over some sort of pshat to the kid, which is like way off. It was like totally wrong. And Rafael said that when he learned that pshat from his tutor, he saw his father make like this like funny face and then like go back to his learning. And his father never said anything afterwards. And the tutor continued on with the kid. And Rafael said later in life he realized that his father chaps how bad that pshat was. It was really amaratzis, like a terrible pshat. But his father didn't want to say anything because once you take a shot at the credibility of the Rebbe, you've lost it all. I mean, ultimately, this Rebbe was a good tutor for the kid. And yeah, he may have said a bad pshat. And everyone says bad pshat at some point. But if Reb Chaim had called out the Rebbe on his pshat, so then the child would have lost respect for the Rebbe. And then anything the Rebbe teaches you, you question. Because you don't see it as right. But ultimately, this Rebbe was a good Rebbe. He made one mistake, so he didn't call him out on it. Yeah.
You know you already made one mistake, so everything he said is down the drain. I mean, I had a Rebbe who said something wrong and came the next day, oh, yeah, sorry guys, I told you wrong. I don't know.
Okay, so it depends how you go about doing it. Meaning, if the Rebbe comes back and is willing to admit his mistakes, then ultimately you look at him as somebody who's emistic and in Yerush Shemayim, it's fine. But on the other hand, you have parents sometimes who must say, Rebbe's not Ma'ar, doesn't know anything, that's the wrong pshat, what does he mean? Like, it's the attitude is really how one questions it is really the point. A Rebbe should admit his mistakes. That's 100%. The Rebbe should retract the pshat if he said a wrong pshat. That's for sure he should. And that doesn't make you lose your respect for the Rebbe. But if often you have parents that you come home and you say, yeah, my Rebbe said this pshat in a pasuk. And the parents will say, your Rebbe knows nothing. That's not the pshat. He didn't see Rashi. If he says responds like that, then the kids are like, yeah, my Rebbe knows nothing. He didn't see Rashi. You know, like, and then the kid has that in his mind the entire year through, you know, in school.
One pshat with the Rebbe.
It's possible. It depends how you go about doing it. The parents who do that, typically it's more than one shot. Usually it's going to be a few times. There's another maisa. Also, Rashiva tells a different maisa. I think I heard from him as well. It's another very similar maisa. He said that there was a person who came to, like a chasher Rashiva, came to Rashlomo Zalman. And he said to him, I don't understand. You know, my kids, you know, they're nice kids, they're fine, they learn, but you know, they're not big gadol, not big tam chamim, you know, they're average. I have a neighbor, he himself's a balabas, I don't know, he's like a plumber or something, regular balabas. His kids were all like, something chachamim, Rosh Kola, Rosh Yeshiva, like, what's the difference? You know, I'm a Rosh Yeshiva, I taught my kids Torah, I know much more than my neighbor does, and suddenly his kids are gadolim, and my kids are fine, they're average, but they didn't achieve that madriga. So you ask Rosh Zalman, like, what's the shot? So Shlomo Zalman said, you know, when your kids came home from yeshiva and they said a pshat, what would you do? You'd ask the kasha on the Rebbe, say the Rebbe doesn't understand, I have a different svara, why didn't he learn this way, why didn't he learn that way? And you'd cause your kids to start questioning what they were mekabel from the Rebbe, and you weren't machshav the Rebbe in that way. Your neighbor was somebody who himself did not know much Torah, but he was machshav chachamim. And when they came home from Shiva, he said, wow, your Rebbe is such a Talmud Chacham, he's amazing, he's great, what a pshat, incredible, let me hear more. So that was the difference. That's what Shlomo Zalman said. You know, so it's if you're machshiv that Rebbe, and even if, you know, even in a case where the Rebbe, maybe you excelled past him, maybe he's not the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, but if you want him to kabbal from a person, you have to machshiv him. It's the said in general, is if you're not machshiv somebody, you can't receive from them. You have to be machshiv the person, then you can be makabo. If you're not machshiv the person, you can't be makabo. Yeah.
Well, on that note a little bit, I mean, we find it in our door maybe a little bit with the Kanievsky family, but why is it when you have a gadol ador, very rarely is the son? Meaning, they know the methods. Why is it very rare? Like, you don't... The Gra had a chashiv son. You don't hear about his son. You don't hear about the Chavetz Chaim's children. You don't hear...
Right. I mean, I think it's more common than not. Their children are great people. I mean, they're definitely overshadowed by their parents. But you know, most Gadolim do have children that are Chashiv children. That same Madriga.
Why is the pattern Gadol?
It's hard to know. I mean, one Hesber could be just because when the father's not a Gadol, he is so Torah with Klal Yisrael. Could be he doesn't have the time to give his kids what he wants to give them. That's definitely true. Also, when you're overshadowed by your father, who's a gadol hador, it's sometimes hard for you to step into your own shoes. That's also something, you know. It does say Torah is mechazer salchsanya shelo. The Torah does go back to its host, you know, that families should carry on in that tradition of being gadolim. But I think there's practical reasons why. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, I guess, is the Avu and the Kulo. Moshe Rabbeinu's children were not Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, and Yeshua took over. But there's nakuda that, you know, when a parent is a gadol and he is tarud the entire day in Klal Yisrael, so the kids may not get to receive from their parents, you know, the father, what the father wants to give over to them, and it could be the father that they're not able to be themselves because they're forced to live in the shadows of their father. I think those are two realities which are out there. But I do think, you know, look at the chain of all the Risker Rosh Yeshiva. You know, they're all Gadol Rosh Yeshiva, used to the Kanievsky family. You know, there's the Kamenetsky family. I mean, there's a lot of families where you do have a chain of Chachamim and Gadolim which stick in the family. And even those you don't hear about, often it's only because they didn't reach the level of their fathers, but it doesn't mean they're not Chashiv people. You know, I think it's a mistake to think they're not children who are Chashiv, because many, many do. You find also, you know, sons-in-law, very commonly as well, you know, you find that too. But I mean, the Chafetz Chaim, a lot of his family killed in the war. A lot of his children, descendants. His son-in-law survived, Rav Zaks. He was very chasham chacham. He came over to America. That was his son-in-law. You know, I think the rest of his descendants were killed in the war. So that's why we don't hear much about them. And also, again, to live in the shadows of Chafetz Chaim, like, who can live up to Chafetz Chaim? So it's just, you know, you don't hear about them only because they're not at the level of their father. So even though they're great people, they're not at that level. But you know, it's interesting.
The Soloveitchiks are
like. Well, that's the Brisker dynasty.
Right, you know? Right, exactly.
All the Vesa Levi's descendants, you know,
yeah.
Every single one, more or less, you know.
Yeah, really.
You know, but yeah, so there are families like that. There certainly are. There certainly are. Okay, yeah. Fine. So that's but there's the idea of being of a bittel to a Rebbe, which helps you grow. And even as you become greater, you have to have that Rebbe, if you machshiv him, not to question what he taught you as a kid. Because if you're 40 years old and you start questioning your Rebbe you had when you were 15, so then that could rock the foundations of all the Torah that you have. You know, it's that's not a healthy thing. There's another shot over here, a machmas rabbo, which means you should be involved in a talking learning with your Rebbe. Meaning machmas rabbo is when you talk and learn with your Rebbe, so then, you know, you do add points in that he didn't think of. That's reality. Like we said the other day, mitam yodiyos mikulon. And when you do that, the Rebbe gains and you gain. Obviously, this is done with kavod for the Rebbe, but it has to be, when it's done, everybody gains from it. There's a ma'isa in Gemara above Matzia, famous ma'isa. Rav Yochanan's Talmud was a shlakish. He was a Talmud and he was also a chavrusa of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, we know, was makarav him from being a bandit to being a gadol hador. And when Rish Lakish died, Rav Yochanan was distraught. And, you know, he was crying, and he needed a new chavrusa. And so Rav Elazar ben Pedas came to learn with him. And he started learning with Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan would say a pshat, and Rav Elazar would automatically bring rayas to Rav Yochanan's pshat. Rav Yochanan got really upset. He said, when I went with Rish Lakish, he would bring me 24 kashas, every pshat I said. 24 kashas. And I have to respond to all 24 kashas. That's a chavrusa. You know, you bring me rayas? I don't want rayas, I want kashas. I want to grow from it. I don't need a raya, I know what I said is right. At least I think it's right. I don't need you to prove what I said. This is what I think. I need kashas on it. That's what I want. And he was so, like, distraught over it that eventually he died. He was, like, a broken person. Because he lost his Talmud, Rish Lakish, who would ask him kashas. So that's Machimus Rabbo. You know, he it was his Rebbe, but he was sure to talk and learning with him to the extent of asking on his pshat, he said. You know, when he would ask 24 kashas per pshat. And when the Rebbe had to respond, they helped the Rebbe grow as well. So a madriga of being Kona Torah is Machimus Rabbo, because when you're Machim, your Rebbe, so we said be Machshiv him. We said, speak and learning with him. And when you do that, he grows, but you grow. Because you'll get a better pshat from the Rebbe. You'll get a better Rebbe out of it. And you'll also be a sharper Talmud because of it. So that's Machimus Rabbah. Okay, very good.